This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
What's up, roasters? It's Sam from Laughing Monk Brewing, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with my guys, Bodoni and Shasky. Shasky, stop picking the lobster out of the linguine.
Better not be, Sam. Better not be. Does Juwan Jennings pick the lobster out of the linguine? I'm not sure.
Can't afford the lobster right now. That's why he's trying to get the increase in his pay.
He's trying to get that paper, which I understand. I totally understand why Juwan Jennings.
I want to raise too. I totally get it. Yeah.
Listen. He saw an opportunity and wanted to capitalize on said opportunity. He saw what was around him on the team. He said, Ayuk's not going to be here for a chunk of this season. We don't know a version of him is coming back. Ricky Pearsall is an unproven, you know, first round pick, but unproven. Can he be a true number one? I was the number one if I'm Juwan Jennings last year for the 49ers. I was nearly a 1,000-yard wide receiver. I should have been. I got ejected in the last game against the Cardinals, but you know what? I was on my way to be a 1,000-yard receiver. Okay. You want to say it was a last place team? It was a lost year? Don't say that to Brock Purdy, the quarterback. Me and him had a pretty good connection. Dare I say a pretty good connection? Myself and Brock.
Stop!
Yeah, that's great. You got George Kittle. I understand. He is the guy. So if you're looking at it through that lens, sure. Receiver, not tight end, wide receiver, just receiver, it's George Kittle. But that being said, I showed up when a lot of the team members did not last year. I was a leader on the field for this team. I want to get paid like it. But I also understand John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, Sam, saying, you know what, man? My emotional meter on contract talk is officially spent, and you're where it's stopping. Sorry, Juwan. I can have the bandwidth for CMC, for Trent Williams, for George Kittle, for Brock Purdy, Fred Warner, Ayuk. Yeah. It stops at Juwan Jennings. Sorry, Juwan. We paid you last year. Play under contract or don't. That's it. Take it or leave it. Pretty simple, right? I think that's where we're at.
Yeah, no, again, the number one conversation there, and you bring up a good point. He was the number one receiver on a last place team. That's kind of like, does that make you a legitimate number one? In some cases, yes, you can be a legitimate number one on a last place team, but simply being the receiver with the most receiving yards, and by the way, George Kittle was the leading receiver for the Niners last year,
Correct.
So he was more the number one than Juwan Jennings was.
Juwan Jennings leading wide receiver, yes.
Yes, but just because you were the leading wide receiver last year does not automatically mean you are the number one. It's kind of like, you know, if you're the number one pitcher on the Angels, if you're their, you know, opening day starter, that doesn't mean you're the number one ace on every single team. That doesn't mean that you should be paid like you're a Paul Skeens or a Tarek Skubal or anyone on that level. It means that you were just the best guy available of the bunch. That's what the kind of number one that Juwan was last year. And so, yeah, I think it gets a little bit harder to justify, yeah, you should be getting big-time receiver money when, by and large, it's the evidence that you are a big-time receiver in the overall in the league of the NFL, it's a hard argument to make for Juwan Jennings. Now, is he better than the 1-point-something million that he was making last year? Absolutely. He's definitely due a pay raise, but he's due a pay raise in the same way that a very good number three receiver is due a pay raise. Like, how many championship-caliber teams, how many playoff-caliber teams is Juwan Jennings the number one wide receiver on if he were to hit the open market right now? I don't think there are any teams. In fact, I don't know how many teams just in the NFL in general right now he would be the legit number one on. I'm sure there are some teams out there, but not to be any great teams out there that if you added Juwan Jennings to them, there he's the number one receiver. So clearly there's a disconnect in what he believes his value is, what he's been told his value is, and the Niners are just hitting him with a cold dose of reality.
The two receivers right now that are holding out or requesting a trade, Jacoby Myers of the Raiders and obviously Juwan Jennings of the 49ers. Those are like the two biggest ones happening right now. Trey Hendrickson, settled. Terry McLaurin, settled. Obviously, Micah Parsons is the biggest, but it's Dallas.
He's not
it's
a wide Micah. Receiver.
It's whatever. But the two wide receivers, right? Jacoby Myers and Juwan Jennings. I say that and lump in Jacoby Myers right now because they share the same agent. Jennings and Myers share the same agent, Drew Rosenhaus. And Jacoby Myers has a legit gripe. I think he's set to make $10 million this year. But if you look at his stats, he's shown that he could be a number one or two throughout his career.
He looks like
1,000 yards last year, 800 the year before, 800 the year before, 866 the year before, 729 the year before that. That's just yardage.
He looks like a guy who could be a number one on a lot of teams.
Yes.
I don't think you can say that about Juwan Jennings.
Juwan had 1 year, 975. His second best year was in 2022. He had 35 receptions for 416. Now, sharing the field with the likes of Ayuk, Debo, George Kittle, those are just better players, which I understand Juwan feeling the way he's feeling right now. But at the same time, just because you're the number one option in the wide receiver core, again, on a bad team, does not mean you're viewed that way around the league. And I think this is going to be a very humbling experience for Juwan, kind of like what we're seeing with Jonathan Kuminga this summer. There's been a humbling experience with some of these athletes this summer in the Bay Area, one being Juwan, one being JK. And now Austin in Redwood City wants to join in the conversation. 888-957-9570 is the number. Austin, good morning. You're on the Morning Roast.
Yo, good morning. Hey, I just want to ask, what makes y'all think he's not a legit number one if he's showing you guys that I could do just more than being a third down reception receiver if I can go out there and produce as a number one? What makes y'all believe that he can't be a number one, though? That I just don't understand.
You don't think he's a man, you think Juwan Jennings is a number one wide receiver in the NFL?
I think he's a number one. Look at the production. The man working hard. He was one of our most reliable receivers when players wasn't injured and injured and still moving the chains, even though he was a possession receiver. He like a Myers. Now on the Raiders, Myers is their number one receiver. When they drafted that one dude that got in a car accident and whatnot, he still became a number one. He's a number one option. Jennings is a number one option on any team right now. I guarantee you.
On
you
any
put
team?
Him on the Chargers, he go produce. Yes, he can produce. The man, he's a legitimate wide receiver. He blocks. He runs. He plays with passion. He moves the chains. He does everything the coach is asking him to do. Other than these other wide receivers, they really don't.
Okay. So you think on every team in the NFL,
Austin,
right now, so if you put him on the Houston Texans, he's the number one over Nico Collins. Did we lose Austin? Okay.
Yeah, he's gone. He clearly believes in Juwan Jennings, which I find laughable. And he's mentioning Henry Ruggs, formerly of the Raiders. He never played with Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers came after him. Joey Myers came in with the Josh McDaniels era Raiders because he came over from the Patriots, and that's what he stuck in. And Jacoby Myers has a much longer, again, longer track record. He, I could understand wanting to get paid way more because he has the pelts on the wall. Pelts. There's one pelt on the wall for Juwan Jennings, and it was last year. That was it. Do it again, and then do it again. And then do it again.
Like, I see where Austin's getting at because, again, last year,
one good season doesn't make you a number one.
But yeah,
I'm
he
sorry.
Did. No, he did play the role of number one last year. But the question I would then kind of throw out in rebuttal there is, let's pretend we live in a fantasy world, you know, one of those Doctor Strange realities that he likes to look at, where in this reality, you know, Ricky Pearsall and Brandon Ayuk are healthy all year long. Is Juwan Jennings having the kind of production that makes us think that he's a number one wide receiver like we're having today? Probably not. Why? Because he's the number three option. Mm. He was going into last season as the number three option. Option number one went down during the Kansas City game. Might not be back till midway through the year. Option number two took a bullet to the chest during the preseason. Mm. He was out of commission until late in the year. My process of elimination, Juwan Jennings went from wide receiver three to wide receiver two to wide receiver one on the depth chart just due to the lack of options. That right there is not make you a, you know, quote unquote, number one receiver. You might be at the top of the depth chart, but you're not a number one the same way that guys like a Nico Collins are, guys like a Brian Robinson are, guys like a Drake London are. I'm not going to put him in the same tier as Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase and CeeDee Lamb and all them. But like there are, you know, great legit number one receivers out there. I don't know if I put Juwan Jennings in that category. And if that's what Juwan Jennings sees him as based off last year, I disagree with that characterization of kind of what a receiver, what kind of receiver he is. That said, I'm not trying to poo-poo what he is. He is a very good wide receiver. He does bring use and value to a team. I do think there are a lot of teams out there that would get a lot of use out of Juwan Jennings this year, assuming he's healthy with the calf injury. I'm not, you know, ignoring that. But it's just what he's seeing himself as versus what he is not the same.
Brought to you by Golden State during the Bear for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. I'll say this. Or I'll ask you, I should say, Sam. Who was the number one running back for the 49ers last year? Who was their best running back?
Boy, that's
who
a good
RB1?
Question.
Who was RB1? No, it's
no,
easy.
No, it was Jordan Mason.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, they had so many different ones. But yeah, it was Jordan Mason, and then it was Grant.
Does anyone view Jordan Mason as a number one running back in the NFL? Like a true number one back?
Well, there was a time when Isaac Garendo was the 49ers' number one running back.
But no last one, year again, for the majority... The hold on. But for last year, for the majority of the season, it was Jordan Mason.
Mm-hmm.
Same for Juwan Jennings, who was the number one wide receiver. Just because you are the de facto number one on the team doesn't make you a number one across the league. Great. Jordan Mason and Juwan Jennings could be number ones on the Carolina Panthers. Congratulations.
Or the Vikings.
Yeah, can I throw this at you guys?
Sure.
Let's throw some teams at you here.
Oh, okay. But for what? Are you just going to throw them at me? In my face?
Yeah, I'm going to throw them in your face, and you can tell me where you think Juwan Jennings would fall on their depth chart of wide receivers.
Ooh, I like this one.
Okay. The Las Vegas Raiders.
I think he's number two behind Jacoby. Yeah. Assuming Jacoby Myers is part of the team, I think he's number two behind Jacoby Myers.
Well, there's Amari Cooper there now, too.
How could he compete for one against Jacoby Myers?
Maybe, but he'd be competing against with also Amari Cooper. And we're also acknowledging that Brock Bowers is the true number one receiver on that team, much like George Kittle is for the 49ers. But he could be into the number two. I'd still put Myers because, again, he's shown the track record of being a number one on that team.
He's not solidified the number one.
Solidified at two there.
Well, I think we can agree he's not the number one receiver. Again, let's leave tight ends out of this for this little experiment, just for simplicity's sake. I think we can agree that, yeah, he is not the number one.
He's not. Not on the Raiders, no.
No.
You think Jacoby Myers clear cut over him?
Yes.
Wow.
I do.
Tennessee Titans.
They got Cam Ward. They got
Calvin Ridley, Tyler Lockett.
Tyler Lockett's old. Calvin Ridley, I'd still put above Juwan Jennings right now. How old is Calvin Ridley, by the way? 30?
You know, that's really a team I can see. If he was on this team right now, I think Juwan Jennings would be their number one receiver at the end of the year. And that's, I think, more because Lockett and Ridley are on a downside, whereas Juwan Jennings is entering the prime of his career.
So you think that Calvin Ridley is better than Jacoby Myers? Or I mean, that Jacoby Myers is better than Calvin Ridley?
You know what Calvin Ridley did last year for the Titans? No, seriously, look at this.
Got paid.
He had 64 receptions and 1,000 yards. Yeah, he's better than Juwan Jennings.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
Tennessee Titans. Sorry, he's
the number
two.
I'm going to retract my previous statement then.
He's the number two.
You threw a fact at me, and now I have to change my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't let facts get in the way of your feelings.
Okay. I don't do that.
Third team, New England Patriots. This is an interesting one.
They got Diggs, right?
Might be a one.
Yeah, no, he's not the one. Diggs is still a one on that team.
Coming off an ACL tear?
Yes.
New relationship with Cardi B?
Yes.
Other offseason activities?
Yes. I'm still taking a post-torn ACL Stephon Diggs over Juwan Jennings.
I think I probably that one. I'm gonna go Juwan Jennings as one on that team.
I am too.
I think you guys
just
because
I wanted to. I want to
ask that nationally. I don't think I agree.
We've agreed too much on this, so I'm gonna disagree with you.
Thanks.
That's simply
it's a fun exercise,
that.
Though, Carter. You can continue.
Yeah, got another one.
Chargers.
McConkey's. I'd still say McConkey.
Ladd's the number one.
Yeah, he'd be the number one.
I totally agree. But how about two?
Yeah, he'd be the two on there. Sure.
I think he's clear cut two on the Chargers.
I think he would be a 2A, 2B with Keenan Allen.
And then they got what's his face,
Johnson,
who's got skill at hand, as you've mentioned.
Yeah, he's like Kendrick
Bourne.
Big old
frying pans.
Yeah, the Johnston, not Daryl the Guru Johnston. There you go.
Really Speedster. Interesting one here too, which we've kind of brought up. The Bills.
Keon Coleman.
I think Keon Coleman's going to be their number one this year.
Yeah.
So I think that Juwan Jennings would be the number two on the Buffalo Bills.
Khalil Shakir is the other one. And then you got
Elijah
the two
Moore,
tight ends,
right.
obviously.
Yeah, you got Keon and James Cook, obviously.
Honestly, I could see Juwan falling number three on that team, if I'm being real.
Well,
Bills could absolutely use Juwan Jennings,
Kincaid
though.
And Dawson Knox as like a two tight end set tandem. So they're kind of unique in that regard. But they could use, and he blocks, so yeah, they could use Juwan Jennings. He wouldn't be the number one on that.
See, that's why when I say, is he closer to getting traded or is he closer to suiting up, I do think there would be trade partners out there. If I'm the Buffalo Bills, I would totally throw a sixth-round pick at the 49ers to bring in Juwan Jennings. Like, yeah, you know what, we'll take that problem off your hands and throw some money at him and make him a part of our offense. He'd be a perfect fit for them.
That was a fun exercise. Thank you for doing that,
Carter. Good stuff,
Carter. It just shows that, you
earned your cookie today.
The depth around the league, it's not what you might think it is. That being said, I still think the teams that we're referencing, they still have a number one that they would take over Juwan Jennings. Not saying Juwan can't be a number one on another team, but it's going to be a bad team.
Exactly.
And I'm looking at maybe Carolina. The Saints, maybe.
The Jets and the Browns, too. The Jets, he'd be number two, obviously. But the Browns, I mean, he might be up there.
I mean, who's on the Browns right now? I mean, Shedeur Sanders, exactly. Their emergency quarterback number three. God bless Joe Flacco.
But again, this is
Judy.
This goes back to I think I think Juwan Jennings could outdo
Judy's better than Jennings. Come on, guys. He had 1,000 yards last year.
That was his best year by far, right?
By far
it was his best year. But again, we're talking about two receivers that were number one on last place team.
Yeah, again, if that's your 1-2 tandem, Judy and Juwan Jennings, like, you're a 6-win team tops.
By the way, Mike Florio joining us in about 17 minutes, Pro Football Talk Zone, tapped in on all things National Football League. We'll get his thoughts on the Jennings situation, where he slates the 49ers heading into this season. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNC, FM and HD1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the Free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. We are diving headfirst into Juwan Jennings talk here on 95.7 The Game as John Lynch spoke to the media yesterday and acknowledged that Jennings did ask to be traded, but they're not doing that.
No, he asked for it, and we've moved on. And we're not doing that, so we're moving forward.
Do you still believe that he's going to get traded, Sammy, after that?
I mean, they just completely shut down any notion of it. But they didn't confirm or deny that the trade request was rescinded at all. He just kind of blew through the answer, just like not even paying it any mind. I mean, if we did the dismissal of the year category for the Doobie Awards, that would probably be the dismissal of the year. Unfortunately, I haven't been keeping up on our dismissals, so that won't be a category. But yeah, he just really shook that one off there. That being said, the reason why I think he's get closer to getting traded than he is to getting suited up is I just get this feeling that the 49ers are they're slamming the door shut on kowtowing to these guys in these contract negotiations. This is Kyle Shanahan 3.0 49ers. They're trying to set a tone that, you know, it's a new era. And if you want to pout and hold out and cry and complain for more money, that may have worked in the past, that is not going to be the case going forward. We're going to handle our contract situations like grown-ups and get it done during the summer, like Brock Purdy did, like George Kittle did, like Fred Warner did. Those three players, I think we can all agree, are far more important to the 49ers' future. They're far better players. They have far greater value. They have far more leverage in terms of gaining the money that they want. Yet those deals were all completed over the summer, whereas this one, it's dragging out. I think the 49ers are sending a message that if you want a contract extension, if you want bigger money, a bigger bag, you got to do it the way that Brock Purdy, Fred Warner, and George Kittle did it, not the way that Brandon Ayuk, Nick Bosa, and Deebo Samuel did it. That's the tone that they want to set here, and what better way to kind of double down on that tone
than just be like, you know what? We're done playing this game. Hey, insert NFL team here. Do you want a number three receiver for a fifth round pick? And then that's how the trade ends up going down.
888-957-9570, number to call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Mike Florio joining us in 14 minutes. Pro Football Talk. Get his thoughts on what's going on with the Niners and Juwan Jennings situation, where he slates this team heading into the season in the NFC. In the meantime, let's go to West Oakland, where another Sam wants to join us. What's up, West Oakland? Sam, you're on the Morning Roast.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing, man? Good morning. Good morning.
Welcome, Sam.
I have an issue with like fans and like authority figures within the NFL. Whenever a player feels like they have value, if you remember, whenever Juwan Jennings came out from college, when he started with the 49ers, he actually was a steal. He was a steal for the Niners because he did numbers at the University. I think he went to the University of Tennessee. He was actually a steal, but he started off injured. And then gradually we moved on to calling him clutch third, which means that he took over the moment. That's why we gave him the moniker third and Juwan. And then whenever he had to adjust his role, he took over last year. And he is the quintessential type of wide receiver that we need for our scheme that Kyle Shanahan runs. Especially now that I'm on paper right now, I think we have the best backfield with that.
Yeah, sorry, West Oakland. That West Oakland connection was cutting short there. But I hear what you're saying in regards to Juwan Jennings and how we view him. It's third and Juwan. Like, listen, I have his back when he wants to get paid more. I'm not saying I don't. I'm just saying I think he lost a lot of his leverage in the last couple weeks and basically the last month that he got hurt. Once you get hurt and it's a calf injury and you're still holding out and you don't have that rapport to build off from last year with your quarterback, you're going to be losing a step here in the depth chart. All of a sudden, Ricky Pearsall is going to overtake you with that Pearsall to Purdy connection.
Got to show up
on here. He's got to show up. But again, maybe Jennings feels like he needs to get onto the field now to prove himself. That's when it gets tricky. You don't want to rush back onto the field all of a sudden if you're Juwan. So you want to take your time. But the more you take your time, you're not getting in the action. You get forgotten. If the Niners are stacking wins without you, it looks bad. It goes from bad to worse. Obviously, John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, Brock Purdy, that entire offensive staff, they want Juwan there. I'd feel so much better about the early part and this whole season if Juwan Jennings was a part of it. I understand that. I'm not saying Juwan Jennings is this awful player. Just because I view him as not a true number one around the league, which I don't think is a hot take, doesn't mean I don't like him as a player. I love him as a player on this team. I just think that there are levels to this when it comes to negotiations and holdout. And if I'm John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, I've been exhausted the last few summers by this. And my meter is officially spent when it comes to a guy like Juwan Jennings. I don't have that bandwidth anymore to entertain stuff. Like, dude, you signed your contract last year. You're going to be probably the number two, number three option on this team going forward. I get it. You want your money. That's fine. Either come out and play. We can figure this thing out. Or you're going to sit and not play at all. And we're going to go get MVS and potentially a Kendrick Bourne. Sorry. Mm-hmm. There it is.
Well, then that case then has this end for Juwan Jennings, because this is why I think this just ends with him getting traded. And again, I'm not advocating for trading him. I think the Niners would be good to have Jennings still on this team. I think he does more value for them on the team than off of it, which I don't think is a bold statement to say. But in that situation, if you don't think they're going to trade him, but you don't think they're going to give in to him, is this really just a situation where they're just going to put him on IR to start the season and let him just kind of fester there for the entire season? I don't know what the solution there is. If you're not going to trade him, you're not going to pay him, that this does no one any good at that point.
888-957-9570, the number to get involved. We're up against it. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we're going to be joined by Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, courtesy of River Islands, and get his thoughts on the Juwan Jennings situation, some of the bigger storylines surrounding the 49ers. Is this the biggest storyline remaining heading into the regular seasons? The Juwan Jennings saga, which is continuing. When will it end? We'll ask Mike Florio on the other side. It's going to be brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change this Labor Day weekend. Be road trip ready with Valvoline Instant Oil Change. No appointment needed. Stay in your car while they change your oil and check your tires, battery, and fluids. Before you head down the coast or over the Golden Gate, visit BayAreaOilChange.com.
Now back to the Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni.
Spadoni, you hit the ground running, dude. You are off the hook. I love how you guys vibe.
And Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
We're rolling, baby. Rolling. Speaking of rolling, 49ers. Juwan Jennings, hold out, hold in. Is he going to be available week one? Calf injury, did he ask to get traded? Well, apparently John Lynch finally acknowledged that he did ask to get traded, but...
No, he asked for it, and we've moved on. And we're not doing that, so we're moving forward.
They're moving forward.
Look. Listen.
We got Mike Florio joining us momentarily, next couple minutes. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk and Football Night in America on NBC. Plus, he's got a new book out called Big Shield. We'll get his thoughts on that. Juwan Jennings, where he views the Niners in the West, in the conference, and just in the totality of the league, and how big of a loss potentially would Juwan Jennings not being part of the 49ers, how big of a loss would that be potentially? 888-957-9570. But I teased the 49ers, and I just said Niners and... You know, in general, because they got new jerseys, people.
They dropped?
New jerseys. Not
today's
the state.
The day?
They dropped, though. Yep. Niners Social. We were in the break.
Oh, they there dropped. They are.
They're black. And they're calling it, what are they, like the whole league is doing this thing right now. New Nike rivalry uniform. So the NFC West, the entirety of the NFC West did it, and the entirety of the AFC East did it as well. So the Niners, Seahawks, Cardinals, Rams, Jets, Patriots, Dolphins, Bills all unveiled their new Nike rivalry uniforms for the 2025 NFL season.
Why those divisions?
I don't know. Rivalry.
Because the historical rivalry between the, check my notes here, NFC West and AFC East. That's, all right, you know, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt on that.
Throw out the records when it's the Seahawks and Cardinals, guys, all right?
And I think you smoking is off.
I mean, when it's the Jets and Rams meeting up, I mean, that's where history is made.
Are the 49ers smoking anything with these uniforms? Because a lot of fans are feeling some type of way about going back to the All Blacks. They didn't like that back in the day because it was synonymous with what? A losing part of the 49ers. It was Kaepernick. It was Blaine Gabbert. It was Carlos Hyde. It was Chip Kelly, Jim Tomsula. Not a good time. I will say it. These ones, a lot better than the other ones. These ones, the saloon font with the gold trim, with the red numbers, the red stripes on the pants. I like these ones a lot better. I don't love the black helmet for the 49ers, but I don't hate these. Is that a good sell job? Sorry. I don't love them. I don't hate them. They are better than what they did a decade plus ago. How about that? What do you feel about them, Sammy?
If it's for
Shasky does not, by the way. Shasky is up at 7:20 a.m. texting us already on his day off saying, not a fan. And I'll let him speak about it. I think he tweeted about it. What do you feel about him, Sammy?
Really, Joe Shasky doesn't like something? That's so unlike him.
Well, he loves the Niners, though. So him saying he doesn't like these ones is saying something.
I mean, are they going to wear them for, what, one game, maybe? If that's it, I'm okay with that. I agree with you. I think it should be a gold helmet with the black jersey. The saloon font's cool. You know what? Maybe it's a question for later on. What do you like more, these black jerseys or the Giants City Connect jerseys?
I love the City Connects, but I'm in the minority in that one. I think a lot more people will like these Niner ones than the Giants City Connect ones.
See, I like these more than the current Giants City Connects. And then you want to talk about being a minority on a jersey. I like the old Giants City Connects more than both of
the creamsicles. You like the creamsicles?
Yeah, I'm a sicko that way. It's a Miami orange, so that's why I got into it.
Well, speaking of Miami, they're one of these ones, and they're also in an all-black uniform. They're definitely not wearing these in Miami, right? Definitely, you can't.
Oh, it's for a night game. Well, Miami Hurricanes did that a few years. I think it might have been the Notre Dame game that did the Miami Knights one. Doesn't matter, but I think we got Mike Florio on the line.
We certainly do. We have Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk and Football Night in America's own on NBC. Plus, he's got a new book out, Big Shield, the story of a third-string quarterback who gets mixed up with the mob for providing inside information before and during games. It's a cautionary tale for pro sports in an age of normalized gambling and instant wagering. Players know things that bettors don't. Those players can be corrupted by the lure of easy money. But a guy that can't be corrupted, a guy that sticks it to the man and to the shield when he needs to, his name is Mike Florio, joining us now, courtesy of River Islands. Mike, good morning. We'll just bring into the conversation. Do you see these new uniforms that just dropped in the NFC West and the AFC East?
At the risk
of coming off as get off my lawn guy, I would like to say to Nike, get off my lawn. I hate this Nikeification of the NFL. I knew the moment that Nike got the NFL contract in 2012, it was going to be like Oregon, where every week it's a different uniform. I like to turn on a game and know who the teams are instantly. I don't like all these uniforms. I don't like breaking from the traditions, the uniforms that look great. Why do we need all these different uniforms? And the saving grace for a long time was the NFL's rule, which made no sense, but I liked it. You could only have one helmet all year long. Well, they got rid of that a couple of years ago. Now they got two helmets. Now they got three helmets. Now they got these combinations. I mean, the Broncos were a clown show last year with all these different combinations. They could have a different look every single game. And I get it. I get it, because now that it's so prevalent in college, people expect it at the NFL level. I don't like it. I have a feeling I'm not alone, but it's probably people in my demographic that feel that way. So I continue to object, strenuously or otherwise, but I know at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, because they're going to keep selling this stuff, because the more things they put out there is the more stuff people can buy, and fans will buy every helmet, every jersey. Hell, they'd buy all the different pants if they were for sale.
No, Mike, you're absolutely right, and I kind of agree with you. It's we have jerseys already. We don't need to keep adding more and more and more, but hey, got to make that sweet money. And if it's for one game this year, I guess I'll deal with it, but just don't make it too much of a recurring thing. One thing that is kind of a recurring thing out here, at least in the Bay Area, is there's a lot of Niner fans that there's a uneasiness or an apprehension or even a little bit of pessimism about how this season could play out. But we've looked around the nation with some of the national pundits and a lot of the odds makers, and a lot of these odds makers have the 49ers as the favorites to win the division. I think they have the sixth best odds in some books to win the Super Bowl. So I'm just kind of curious, what are you seeing on the outside looking in at this Niners team that would suggest that they should be a betting favorite in the NFC West, and they should be one of the better bets to come out of the NFC and even potentially win the Super Bowl?
One of the things that we see often is that the way that the prior season ended influences our views on the next season. And I think the logical conclusion coming out of 2024 is, hey, the Rams are back in the window. The 49ers have regressed, and the Rams should be the favorite in the NFC West. And then we see wire to wire in the offseason, the 49ers as the betting favorites to win the division. And at a certain point, I started to believe that, and I started to think about it, and things set up well this year for the 49ers. Number one, the expectations are lower than they've been, probably since 2021, the year after they most recently had a season that was derailed by injury after injury. And the schedule is much more favorable this year. Outside of the division, all four teams of the AFC South, all four teams of the NFC South, and when you compare Rams' first-place schedule to 49ers fourth place schedule, there's three games where there's that deviation, and that's the benefit you get from finishing in fourth place. Three of your games are, in theory, unless those other fourth place teams from last year are a lot better, those are easier games than what the defending champion has to face. And that alone, where the margins are so tight, the playoff spots come down to a win here, a loss there, the division title can go all the way down to the wire. Those things benefit the 49ers if they can be healthy and if they can stay healthy. I think back to last year, 90 minutes before that Monday night opener against the Jets, Christian McCaffrey scratched. What? He's not playing. What? And that Achilles issue plagued this whole season. He comes back and plays. He has a PCL injury. That derailed the season. And you get a healthy Christian McCaffrey. You get a Brock Purdy that lives up to the contract he got. You get receiver play that can overcome Deebo Samuel's departure. If George Kittle can have a big year. Look, there's a lot of ifs, and there's a lot of ifs for every team. Health is the most important one. If the 49ers stay healthy, you got one of the best coaches in the NFL in Kyle Shanahan, they can find a way to navigate the schedule and get to enough wins to get to the postseason. And there's enough of that DNA still in the organization that has been to a Super Bowl, multiple Super Bowls. Not that the roster hasn't changed dramatically, especially since 54, but still, this is a team that knows how to win, knows how to compete, and I think it's a mistake to write them off, because there's a chance at the end of the day we're going to be saying, wow, we didn't see that coming, and we should have seen it coming.
Talking with Mike Florio here on the Morning Roast. Joe Spinelli alongside Sam Lubman, who's in for Joe Shasky, Pro Football Talk, Football Night in America on NBC. And Mike, a lot of things have to go right, and they would like for this Juwan Jennings situation to go right in their favor. You know, he's dealing with a calf injury. You know, a month ago he had that trade request slash, hey, pay me or I'm going to hold out. He ended up holding in, hurting that calf. And it's funny because a month ago when the trade request was, I think it was Schefter, whoever it was, who tweeted it out, you know, Shanahan and Lynch were asked about it. And then Shanahan a month ago was like, actually, no, there is no trade request. And then yesterday when John Lynch spoke to the media, he acknowledged the trade request and said, yeah, we're not doing that. So what did you make and what do you make of this whole Juwan Jennings situation? And do you think the Niners are just going to be playing hardball going forward here and just keeping this guy on the roster no matter what?
Well, this all traces, I think, to the lack of a market for Jennings when he became a free agent after the 23 season. And at one point during Super Bowl 58, when the 49ers were leading, we're in the press box. Shereen Williams, who works with me at PFT, is one of the Super Bowl MVP voters, and there aren't all that many. We were kicking around who the MVP would be, and his name was mentioned. Now, other names were mentioned too, and it ultimately didn't matter because obviously the Chiefs won the game, but Jennings had a good game. And then last year, he had career numbers. He had numbers that far exceeded a two-year $11.89 million contract. So he's outperformed the deal. The problem is it was a two-year deal. He took the two-year deal. I have less sympathy for guys who sign veteran contracts than the players who are drafted and they have nothing they can negotiate. Their contract is driven by their draft slot, period. And it's sign it or don't play. For veterans, you had an opportunity to see what was out there. You signed that contract. You didn't do a one-year deal. You ended up producing much more than you expected. You ended up playing much more than you expected. And now he wants to be compensated. The problem is this. The hardball approach can blow up on the team. We've already seen him potentially hold in. Who knows? Calf injury, it's one of those things where what can you really do? And is the team willing to say, we don't believe you? That just makes everything uglier if the team starts calling BS on the guy claiming he's injured. But as the season unfolds and he's got no security beyond this year, everybody gets banged up. And this is what somebody explained to me 4 weeks ago or so when all of these hold-ins were starting. There was that weird moment a couple of years ago when J.C. Treader, who was the president of the NFLPA at the time, hinted that unhappy players could fake injuries. He said, well, I can't really tell you to do it, but you could do it. But here's the thing. You don't have to fake them. Every player who's been playing football since he was a little kid has something that he could point to and say, I don't feel 100%. And then you get into a season, we hear it all the time. Nobody's 100%. So as we get deeper into the season and Juwan Jennings compiles bumps and bruises, is he going to say, I can't play this week? And what's the team going to do about it? That's the problem. So you have a guy that is not going to be as willing to throw himself into the fray as he was last year because he believes he's grossly underpaid and he's concerned about his security after this season. And if he suffers a serious injury while he's playing, if he does have a minor condition that could become a major condition, he is going to be less inclined to play. So that's a cloud that's going to hang over the team. And by taking that hardline approach, we're not going to do anything about this, fine, but you're not going to get the most out of your player either.
Mike, a question we're throwing around here on the Morning Roast, by the way, Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, Football Night in America on NBC, joining us here on the Morning Roast. The question we've been throwing out this morning is Juwan Jennings closer to just being traded by the 49ers, or is he closer to suiting up for the 49ers week one? When you look at it right now, how would you answer that question?
I'd say he's closer to suiting up than being traded, because with receivers especially, it's hard to plug and play. You go from the 49ers offense to some new team, and you're walking in cold, moving to a new city, new coaching staff, new quarterback, new everything, and you have to catch up on the fly. The closer you are to week one, the harder that is to come in and make a difference. Now, any team that trades for him, if that happens, would have to understand we can't expect this guy to play right away, especially since he hasn't practiced much. That's the other thing about a hold-in. When it's time to go to work, you can't just throw the guy into full reps. You've got to acclimate him or he can be injured. A GM told me after Rashawn Slater, the Chargers tackle who suffered a torn patella tendon under circumstances where maybe they got him going a little too aggressively after he signed his new contract, there's data out there to suggest that players who have held in are more likely to be injured. And I think common sense would support that too. Hey, I'm signed. I'm ready. Let's go. And your body isn't ready. So I think that's a big part of it. What would the 49ers want? And also, you got to make Juwan Jennings happy with his contract. So there's a lot of moving parts there. And I think that it's not likely that we're going to see him traded before week one. Now, could it happen during the season? You know, if things start to fall apart and the 49ers are thinking, well, we'd rather take what we can get for next year's draft versus whatever compensatory pick we'd get if he leaves in free agency. That becomes a factor if things fall apart. And if you know by week nine, when the trade deadline rolls around, that it's over and let's just sell off assets who aren't going to be here. But for now, I think it's more likely he suits up week one. The question is he going to feel healthy enough to suit up week one? And does he want this statement to resonate into the regular season?
Talking with Mike Florio here on the Morning Roast, courtesy of River Islands Pro Football Talk Zone and Football Night in America on NBC. And Mike, a lot's being made, you know, this year about bringing back Robert Saleh. And just that might be the biggest acquisition. Obviously, you sign Brock Purdy to be the highest paid player in the history of the franchise. You bring back Kittle, new contract for Fred Warner, all the pillars of a franchise. But could we be looking at the defensive coordinator and Robert Saleh, obviously moving off of Nick Sorensen and Steve Wilks in the previous years, Saleh being the biggest acquisition for this team this season?
Oh, absolutely. He brings back part of that edge that propelled the team that made it to Super Bowl 54. And when you have a coach in Kyle Shanahan who is so skilled in the offensive side of the ball, you need a defensive coordinator who can do things the way that you want them to be done, who can be trusted to do it without the coach being involved very much, if at all, in the defensive side of the ball. And just because things didn't work out with the Jets, look, who's it worked out for with the Jets? Woody Johnson's been the common thread. And I believe in any team, the dysfunction flows from the top of the organization. The Jets have had a hard time doing anything. And Saleh was hired by Christopher Johnson when Woody was the ambassador to the UK. And Saleh may have been led to believe that he was going to be working for Christopher, not Woody. And then Woody comes back and takes over. And Woody got involved last year. And Woody panicked after the loss in London, made a rash move to fire Saleh in season. I just think that anybody who fails with the Jets needs to be given some consideration. And also, there's plenty of guys who are great coordinators and just aren't great head coaches. It's a fundamentally different job. So this, I would assume, rejuvenates Saleh, and it rejuvenates the defense. And it's another reason, you know, at a time when there may be that sense of pessimism or uncertainty about what the 49ers are going to be, an idea that maybe the window's closing, that's something you can point to say, hey, that's a reason to think that this will be the jolt that we need.
Well, I'm looking at it, Mike, and, you know, Todd Bowles, obviously a guy that flamed out in New York, and honestly, he didn't even have bad seasons over there, but they moved off of him. Obviously, goes back to being a DC down in Tampa. They win a Super Bowl with Tom Brady, gets another head coaching opportunity. Is that similar to what could happen here with Saleh if this 49ers, I'm not saying after 1 year, but maybe a year or two, revamp defense, and he could be looking at another head coaching opportunity?
Absolutely. We've seen that. Coordinators who become coaches and it doesn't work out the first time around, they routinely get second chances. And it's strange because general managers usually don't. It's one time and one time only, but coaches can position themselves for another opportunity. The reality is that there's far more qualified candidates than there are jobs every year, and it all has to line up just right. And I think if Saleh ever does it again, he's going to be damn sure that he's picking a spot where he believes he's likely to have a better chance to run things as he sees fit, to not have an owner who's interfering and meddling, to have an organization that's stable, that has the pieces in place. You know, the problem is those jobs don't come open. The bad teams are the ones that are looking for coaches more often than not. So it's hard to find the right spot. And Bowles got lucky because he went to Tampa at a time when, you know, they had a talented roster. They have a talented roster. They were on the rise. He's there with Bruce Arians. Arians steps down and Bowles walks into a great situation. That's one of the reasons why Bowles is doing much better now than he was with the Jets.
And so, Mike, on that, obviously, I think Cliff Kingsbury, after the year he had with Jaden Daniels, right, and Dan Quinn, he was probably the hot commodity. But he looked around the league, looked at the job openings like, maybe not. So he's going to take another year. Is that still the number one name to be looking at after this season when it comes to future head coaches in the league, when we're talking about some of the big hotshot coordinators?
I don't know that it's the number one name, but it's definitely one of the names. He didn't get into the process last year. His attitude, I believe, was, I'm still getting paid by the Cardinals, right? And he's made a lot of money in other ventures. He doesn't need to jump from a good situation back into a potential mess. It's, you know, similar idea to what Robert Saleh is going to have to think about. When you have a bad experience as a head coach, I think part of you wants to get back on the horse and try it again. But the smart thing to do is to say, wait a minute. I don't want to end up with a dysfunctional team. I don't want to end up in a place where I'm going to be operating with one hand tied behind my back, either because of the owner, the front office, the quality of the roster, whatever. So you're going to be more selective that second time around. And Kingsbury's in a spot where he can be. I mean, they're winning. They're rejuvenated. He presumably loves football and loves coaching again. And that experience in Arizona may have been enough to get him to think, you know, remember when he went to Thailand or something with a one-way ticket? Like, he did. You know, I wouldn't have blamed him for never coming back.
Mike, looking ahead at this season here, I'm just curious, what do you think is the most realistic best case and worst case scenario for how this 49er season plays out this year?
Best case is get to the Super Bowl. And, you know, if the Chiefs don't make it, then win it potentially. I don't know that they can beat the Chiefs. I mean, we've seen that movie twice now, and I really don't want to see it again. Nothing against the 49ers or the Eagles or the Chiefs, but as just a fan of football that would like to have variety, like, I really don't want 49ers Chiefs part three or Eagles Chiefs part three. I don't want that. I understand why 49ers fans do. I think it's just somebody who loves football and is going to be out there for the Super Bowl. I'd like to see something different than what we've seen. But yeah, I think the 49ers could get there. Now, worst case is the wheels come off again and third place, fourth place in the division again. That's the worst case scenario. But I tend to think the 49ers are going to be competitive. I think they're going to be in the mix. And you look at the NFC, the great teams in the NFC, it starts with the Eagles. After that, I think it's kind of open. The Lions are in a state of flux. 8 assistant coaches gone. Who knows whether this window's open? Dan Campbell, said after they blew that 17-point lead in the NFC Championship against the 49ers, he admitted that he told the team this may have been our only shot, and there may be something prophetic about that. They got blown off the field by the Commanders relative to the expectation. And this year they're going to have the target on their back, and they're undergoing change. I think it's open for the 49ers to put themselves in a position where, you know, they could compete with the Eagles and have a shot at the Eagles and maybe get back to another Super Bowl. I think that's very, very possible.
Hey, well, Mike, I'm tired of watching the Chiefs in the Super Bowl too, but, you know, it'd be nice if the Bills or the Ravens or the Bengals or one of these other teams can, you know, not choke it up in the playoffs and finally beat them. Like, that needs to happen. Like, the Chiefs need to be dethroned sometime, right? Right?
Well, you know, I've been saying that all week. There's this attitude of, hey, give the other kids a turn, Chiefs, but the other kids have to take it. And the Chiefs aren't – people think like the Chiefs are down. I think that's a manifestation of the collective exhaustion with the Chiefs.
Totally,
and I think people are hoping that they're down because at some point they've got to be down. At some point the sun has to set on this. As long as Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are together, they're going to find ways to fill out the rest of the roster. And when you get to when you look at all the close games the Chiefs had, and so many games come down to a play here, a play there, bounce of the ball, a bad call, which is bad for one team but good for the other team, a lot of things you can't control. When you have developed this uncanny ability to stay calm in those moments and to understand this is the play of the game, we need to make a play offensively, we need to make a stop defensively, they rise to that level, that becomes a confidence that perpetuates itself. And for the opponent, you're a little tighter because you're thinking, here it comes, they're going to do it again. And I think that's one of the reasons why we can't overlook the Chiefs. They're very entertaining. They play with their food all the time. When they're in games, they should win easily. They allow it to be closer than it needs to be, and then they find a way to win. And at a certain point, it's not luck. It's an ability to master the circumstances and make the plays when the plays are needed. And that's why, now, it's easier said than done, but the Eagles understood, we're not going to beat them in the Super Bowl unless we beat them, unless they're down by 20, not 10 in the second half.
Hey, Mike, great stuff, man. And you got a new book out, Big Shield. Tell us about it.
Big Shield is football, gambling, and the mob. Cautionary tale based upon a concern I've had ever since the U.S. Supreme Court opened the floodgates for state-by-state legalized wagering. There's so much inside information, so much out there. Who's injured? What's the game plan? Those first 15 plays that coaches like to script, those are on a whiteboard somewhere. Who has access to that? Before games and also during games, there are mechanisms potentially for signals and ways to let people who are engaged in micro betting know what the next play is going to be. So that's the premise. Backup quarterback for the Las Vegas franchise of a fictional professional football league, which is not the NFL for legal reasons, gets mixed up with a mobster in Vegas and is getting paid to provide inside information before and during games. It starts from there, and the story unfolds with hopefully enough tension and drama and conflict to keep people going from one chapter to the next. But the key is this: the ebook, stupidly, is only 99 cents. There is nothing you can find for 99 cents. It was idiotic of me to do it, especially when I look at the way it's selling, but I just like getting the stuff out there. I like people to have a good book to read. I think it's good. I think people will enjoy it, especially if you're a football fan, but even if you're not, I'm just surprised at how well it's doing, and I appreciate the chance to talk about it, and I hope people will give it a shot. You will not feel like you didn't get your money's worth at only 99 cents.
You had me at football and the mob, Mike. The new book is Big Shield right there. And Tony Soprano may not have had the makings of a varsity athlete. Mike Florio does. Mike, great stuff, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Mike.
All right, thanks, yes.
There he goes. That's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk and Football Night in America on NBC. The book is Big Shield, and he joined us on the River Islands guest line. God, I love Mike Florio.
He's a tier one guest here.
He's awesome.
I'm so glad that we get him on this show.
What's your takeaway from Mike in that one? There's a lot there.
There really was. I mean, first off, I love how bullish he is on the Niners, and he did cite Robert Saleh as a big reason. I thought that was a hardcore line that he dropped there. You know, it would be a mistake to write the 49ers off this season. That was what I wrote down here in the pieces of paper that I have in front of me, because that really stuck out to me. The Robert Saleh effect, very real. One question we didn't really have time to ask him that I would have liked to have got his thoughts on are kind of how he expects the growing pains of this defense to play out this year. But my guess is when you have Robert Saleh at the helm running this young defense, whatever, there's going to be growing pains on this defense. There's going to be times where just Upton's out, Stout zigs where he should have zags and gets burned on a route. There's going to be times where CJ West gets rolled up or Mykel Williams just has a really just an absolute fart of a game. Those are going to happen. They're young players. But when you got a guy like Robert Saleh, the energy he brings, the attitude he has, the way he's able to connect with his players and focus on just being a coordinator and not the head coach of an absolute dumpster fire of an NFL organization in the New York Jets, like, that's it. We've been saying it over and over again, and we're still saying it right now. Robert Saleh is going to be the biggest acquisition for the 49ers this offseason, and he might be the MVP on this defense this year even at this point.
And they were one of the teams last year, the 49ers defense, that is, with bottom five in allowed points per game. They were not good at that. And points per game for the offense, also not very good either. It's been right in the middle of the pack. Not what we're accustomed to with Kyle Shanahan. Mm-hmm. And you know, you want to get into the top 10, get into the top five. Is Juwan Jennings going to be a part of that conversation when we talk about the offense? And how much of an impact will he make in the offense this year? That's going to be the question. We don't even know if he's going to be suited up week one, the calf injury, all of it. We asked Mike about it, and his whole, you know, reference on it, and his whole, you know, thoughts on the situation is you never know if it's the injury. And that's really the crappy part about all this, which sucks. Like, you never know who's lying, who's telling the truth. When negotiations start, like, as soon as you say you want a trade request or you want a new contract, and then an injury happens, you know, less than a couple weeks later, Sam, like, do you believe it or not? Like, that sucks that we even have to have that conversation. Like, the belief level of the injury. Because I would love to take him at his words. And I do. We're hearing from Lynch and Shanahan. We're hearing from all the beat writers. It's a legitimate injury, it sounds like. Okay?
Yeah.
Again, but I have to say, it sounds like. I can't just take them at their word, which is a frustrating aspect of all of this.
Yeah. Big Boss Man, Matt Nahegan, he threw a question at us yesterday, and I'm going to throw at everybody right now, and that is, what would be worse is the fact that this whole time he has been holding out for the money and the injury has just been kind of a big fugazi here to kind of cover up for that? Or has he really actually been hurt this entire time while going through this negotiation? And the calf injury really is that problematic. What would be the worst situation there in this? I mean, does it even matter this scenario?
No, if I'm a fan, I'm pissed that he'd be faking an injury. Seriously? We need you. Well, why are you doing this? You could go out there and hold. Like, he was holding in, Sam. Like, he was practicing. That's why he got hurt. He was doing this whole process. He was practicing with the team. And then all of a sudden, this injury arises and there's question marks. You know, I was at joint practice with Chasky. There was grumblings for everyone there. Like, hey, you know, is this really an injury? Is this, I don't know. We'll see, sort of a thing. And now it's bled all the way into now we're a week away from the start of the NFL season, Thursday Night Football, Eagles, Cowboys, and he's still not there. This is what John Lynch, again, had to say yesterday at the presser alongside Kyle Shanahan on Juwan, you know, playing when he's ready to play.
Well, there's a lot that goes into that, Eric. You know, ideally, everybody has a training camp. Everyone's out there. You know, that's a perfect world. But, you know, he's been putting in work to the side, and we'll have to make that judgment when the time comes. You know, the other thing is both things can be true. You know, he wants a new contract and he's got a hurt calf. So I think people want to assume one or the other. Both things can be true.
Both things can be true, but it's hard for me as a fan to rationalize it when we've been through so much BS in the offseason. It's just been BS after BS, contract talks. Hell, it could be football, it could be basketball. The Bay Area has been beaten down with financial talk and unrestricted versus restricted versus, oh, sign-in trades versus franchise tags. Like, all of it is just, it's exhausting to talk about. And we have to do it daily, and that's what we're going to do because it's a conversation, and it's the last big domino to fall before this 49ers season starts,
and I
Sammy.
Do understand the events. You just get to a point where you're just tired of it. You're exhausted by it. You don't care who it is anymore at this point. But that's not Juwan Jennings' fault. It's not Juwan Jennings' fault that he's the 47th athlete in the last 5 years to here in the Bay Area to cry and complain for more money. That's not on him, so I'm not going to get mad at him for that, but just going back to that question there, what would be worse? I do agree. It would be worse if the whole calf injury has just been a smoke and mirrors to cover up for the holdout here. I don't think that's what's going on because, I mean, first off, that would be an incredible amount of catering to a player that they're trying to not cater to. I mean, if you're in negotiations with a guy like this, I don't know why you would try and create this smoke screen for him like this. I don't see how that helps either side. I think that just creates an extra layer of distraction because then you have these questions like the cut you just played there. I believe Eric Branch asked the question. He asked, you know, I'm sure you're aware there's some conjecture that there's more than just a calf going on given this desire for a new contract and everything. Are you convinced when he's healthy he'll be ready to play? That was the question that was asked there that prompted that response. You're not going to create a fake injury to cover up for a contract holdout because then what's going to happen is exactly what has happened. People are going to start asking questions. Those questions are going to be asked to John Lynch. The answer is going to be not adding up with what we're seeing on the field. So what would be worse is that, yeah, faking the injury to cover up the holdout, I just don't think that's what's going on because that would just – there's a professional standard too, you got to assume, right? Like that just – that's just a bad way of doing business.
It would also just hurt his entire leverage, right? Like, who wants to go out there? Because your whole point of requesting a trade is another team wants to want you.
Mm-hmm.
What team is going after a guy that's
got
gonna
a
be
bum calf?
Correct. Or to be a number two or a three, we feel like we're a Juwan Jennings piece away from contending, and we're going to be trading for a guy that's an iffy calf, and then we're taking all the risk. If we pay this guy that we're trading for, then we're screwed. So, yeah, it hurts him in the long run if he lies about it. So that's why I don't think, you know, there is any lying going on here. Now,
yeah,
to the extent of the injury, that's what we don't know. Is it a grade one strain? Mm-hmm. Is it a two? Is it a three? Like, no one knows that. And John Lynch, again, spoke to that yesterday,
well,
Sammy.
Really quick.
If they need to do more imaging. Yeah.
Quick before you go to that sound, though. So just from this conversation we just had here over the last couple minutes, I feel like we can agree then by the little detective working we just did, the injury is real. Do we feel like we're all on the same page on that one? We can all agree that there is something going on with the calf and this isn't a smoke and mirrors thing. Do we feel like are we all on the same page? Or is, despite everything we just, because that's the takeaway I just got from what we just said, is that this is a real injury.
If people think it's a fake injury and want to explain why, I would love them to call in 888-957-9570. I will not believe that it's a fake injury because this guy needs to be on the field and needs to produce and if he wants to get paid.
And it just makes no sense if he were to fake it. There's no sensible reason on either side that works out for the Niners or for Juwan Jennings if they are indeed trying to cover this up. So I guess we can put that conspiracy to bed, but if you still want to believe in that conspiracy, 888-957-9570, tell us why you think that this is all smoke and mirrors and this is just a holdout and nothing more.
95.7 The Conspiracy. John Lynch spoke about it yesterday on if they need more imaging and that calf injuries are tricky.
You don't image a guy like daily, you know, so that's something that happened a little bit ago, and you know, if it doesn't get better soon, I'm sure we'll be doing more of that.
Is it worse than you originally had thought it was going to be?
Yeah, but I also, calves can take a long time. That's one thing with that injury. Played with guys who, they can take a while.
I mean, he's not wrong. Like, calves are tricky. Like, that is the one part of the body that you have to be very sensitive to. Kevin Durant, Dre Greenlaw, Christian McCaffrey, the Achilles tendon. Like, it's very difficult. And for a guy that's that big as well, 6'3", 212 pounds, Juwan Jennings, got to be very careful when it comes to that in the rehab process, how much you're exerting, your strength, your agility, all of that. It becomes very tricky. So I'm with John Lynch when he talks about that. Now, that being said, you know, you would hope that the player isn't withholding anything. You would hope that, the agent, what have you, isn't withholding anything. And I don't think that's the case. Hopefully they're being transparent with each other, Sam. But again, I'm using a word right now. Hope. There's a lot of hopium when it comes to this 49ers team heading into the season from the fan base. And Juwan Jennings being a part of it. By the way, I forgot to tease this before we had Mike Florio. Coming up tomorrow.
Tomorrow, that's Friday.
During the 7 or 8 o'clock hour, Sam.
That's a big block right there. We'll narrow that down to 1 hour by tomorrow.
We will. We're going to be giving you a chance to draft Joe Shasky's fantasy football team here in the 95.7 The Game League.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Tomorrow, between 7 or 8 o'clock, depending on those hours, we'll see, be the fifth caller, and you will win the right to make the first selection for Joe Shasky's fantasy football team for the 95.7 The Game Fantasy Football League. Who knows? It could be the number one overall pick.
Imagine if Jake Moody went number one overall in this league to Joe Shasky's team. You know what's even cooler about this contest, Spadoni?
What?
I just got a heads up from our contest guru here, Jesse Moore.
He's the guy
who makes all the contests here at this station.
Jesse literally hired me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was part of the hiring process way back when I worked promotions here.
He has been here for a while, and he is the guy. He is the contest guru here at Odyssey. He does the contest here. He does the contest for Alice, I don't think KCBS does contests. But any other station that's here, Jams, Live 105.
What a trip with Stephen Langford.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. They don't do contests over there. He wants us to pass along that if you do win this contest, not only are you going to make a whole selection for Joe Shasky, you're going to get a $25 NFL Shop gift card, too. So $25 to the NFL Shop and the right to make a draft selection for Joe Shasky. It just keeps getting better.
Which leads us to the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
I kind of want to go on NFLShop.com to see what I can get for $25 or less. I'm sure you can stack up some things. Give me a nice keychain here or there, a towel. By the way, the Giants got good news regarding the health of one Landon Roop. A second examination of his left knee revealed that Roop only has a bone bruise, a welcome relief after there was concern that he may have torn his ACL when he stumbled off that mound. That's what it looked like. Roop will need about 4 weeks to recover, so while his 2025 season may be over, he will be ready to go at the start of the 2026 season. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's going on with the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Jose in Oakland, we'll get you on the other side. We got a bunch of phone lines wide open to join the conversation. Juwan Jennings, he needs the 49ers. I don't think the 49ers need Juwan Jennings. Do you agree? Do you disagree? We'll dive into that. Is he going to get traded? Is he going to make a start week one? All of that and more coming up on the other side. Again, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.